God had two sons. I had never thought of that. If you will be turning to Luke chapter 3, verse 38, the very last verse of that chapter, you have the genealogy of Jesus in Luke chapter 3. You have the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. It's interesting to note, in the genealogy with Jesus in Matthew, he only goes to Abraham. But in the genealogy of Luke, he goes all the way to Adam. So in the 38th verse, when this preacher told me, he said, God had two sons, what I've done, I've developed a lesson using scriptures, primarily Romans chapter 5. And as I've come to the conclusion, God didn't beat up on himself. He had one son that was faithful, and he had one son that wasn't. And so, in the verse 38 of Luke chapter 3, it says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So Adam was the created son of God. Jesus was the only begotten son of God. What does that mean? That means that he was the only son of God that was born of woman. He was born from Mary. You remember, by the Holy Spirit. And so, Jesus is father, and Adam's father were the same. So let's, with that in mind, let's look at this for a few moments and concerning this. Adam is God's created son. In fact, Adam is the only created son of God. We procreate. We are adopted children of God, we that are Christians. We are the sons of God through adoption. In Matthew 5, verse 9, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's what we are as Christians. We're peacemakers. Matthew 3, 17, Jesus is God's only begotten son, and God was well pleased with Jesus. In John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if you notice in the English Standard Version, in all versions, there's sometimes, I like the New American sometimes over the New King James, but I like the English Standard Version sometimes over these others. But if you notice in the English Standard Version, it says God's only son, and that's not correct. Because God had two sons. Both sons had the same father. Both sons were in God's image while on the earth. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, in the New American Standard Version, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, speaking of Adam. And Jesus was in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, New King James Version, who being the brightness of his glory, of God's glory, and the express image of God even in person. You know, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, Jesus was what? God with us. Paul told Timothy about Jesus in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. New King James Version, he said, God was manifested in the flesh. Now, I'll use the New King James Version because I think most of you use it. But if you will, let's get our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. And we're studying this on Wednesday nights. And in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, it's a new paragraph. Paul said to the brethren there in Rome, he said, therefore, just as through one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned, Romans 3:23. Verse 13, for until the law, speaking of the law of Moses, sin was in the world. What do you mean? Well, during the patriarch time, sin was in the world. Sin was in the world since Genesis chapter 3. But Paul is talking here, and there's a contrast between the law of Moses and the gospel of Christ here in Romans chapter 5. But it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." If you don't have a law, you're not accountable to sin. But sin was in the world. And the Gentiles had a law unto themselves. And the Jews had the law of Moses. So let's go on. But verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned." And I pondered on that, even over those who had not sinned. Did you know babies die? They've never sinned. But a consequence of Adam's sin brought death even upon babies. Brought death upon those that are mentally incompetent, those who have never sinned, even over those who have not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type. Adam is a type of him. You know, you've heard, sometimes I use this expression of type, and in any type, 1 Peter 3:21, you know what I'm talking about. I grew up years ago when they had a typewriter. Okay, and you have your keyboard here, and you mash this keyboard, let's say, for example, an A, and that lever would go forward, and it would strike the paper. And then the lever would come back, and you see, there's an A. But is it really the A? No, the A's on the lever. This is just a typewriter. The real A is on the lever. It's like seeing a picture on the wall. Well, I'll use James, for example. I said, and someone said, "Well, there's James." Is it really James? There's James. And so that's a type. So when you go on, it says here, Adam was a type of him who was to come. Verse 15, talking of Jesus, who was to come at the time, back at the time of Adam. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if one by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift," talking about grace, "is not like that which came through one," speaking of Adam, "who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation," speaking of Adam's sin, "condemned the whole world." It tarnished the whole world. "But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification," speaking of Jesus. "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense," speaking of Adam, "judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man," speaking of Adam's disobedience, "many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience," speaking of Jesus, "many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entereth that the offense might abound. But where sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I think of it like, I mean, if sin was the size of a softball, grace would be the size of a volleyball. If sin was the size of a volleyball, grace would be the size of a basketball. Grace always supersedes sin. Notice in verse 2, "Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, speaking of Jesus' death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man of sin, was crucified with Jesus. We buried him in baptism. We've done away with the old man of sin. That the body of sin might be done away with. We buried him. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. This shows a contrast of Jesus and Adam. And that's really through the 11 chapters of Romans. You deal with this contrast. In Psalms 90 and verse 2, it appears that God is the only one who has existed from everlasting to everlasting. In Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, it appears that, in my thought, Satan is the only one that he existed at the creation of the world. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it appears that all other existence was created by Jesus. Man will not sin if there's not a tempter. And I've had people say, well, when we get to heaven, will we fall? No. Why? The tempter will not be there. Why would you want to leave a place of no sin, knowing what you've lived in this life, and go somewhere where sin exists? Only hell will be a place where sin exists. Heaven will not be. And so, the tempter will be cast from us. I put the scriptures there, for he will not be with us any longer. Speaking of Satan. Well, let's deal with these two sons. One son brought sin into the world, Genesis 3 and verse 6. One son took sin out. John 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist, he saw Jesus approach him at the River Jordan, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So one son brought sin into the world, and one son took sin out. How did one son, speaking of Adam's sin, bring sin into the world? He disobeyed God. Adam ate of the forbidden fruit that his wife Eve had given to him, and Eve was infatuated with the forbidden fruit. That word infatuated, WD stands for Webster's Dictionary, means to cause to be foolish. It means to deprive of sound judgment. Boy, they both were that, wasn't they? It means to inspire with foolish or extravagant love or admiration. Didn't Eve look at the forbidden fruit and it was pleasant to the eye, good for food, could cause someone to be wise? So she took it and she ate. I can't find any scripture where Adam and Eve was hungry. Because God said you can eat freely of all the fruit of the trees in the garden except the one in the midst. One son, speaking of Jesus, didn't sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Jesus was tempted in all ways as Adam and us. And yet Jesus never sinned. Remember, we've never been tempted like Jesus. He was laid in a feed trough at birth. That's a manger. And he was nailed to the cross at death. I've never known of anyone that faced those type of endeavors. Jesus said to a man as he spoke to a grown man in Matthew 8 and verse 20, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. One son, speaking of Adam's sin, brought about death in Romans 5 verse 14. Adam's sin brought about death even on those who had never sinned, like babies and those mentally incompetent. But the results of Adam's sin brought about death of mankind on the world. Even animals, you think about it, even animals. Death came upon animals. Genesis 2:17, God said to Adam, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. He died that day spiritually. physically later, but he died spiritually. Romans 5, verse 18 and 19, though Adam's transgressions, condemnation came upon all the men, all the people of the world. One son's righteousness, though, speaking of Jesus, who had no sin, brought about life. He's the only man that's lived to be over 30 years old with an accountable mind who never sinned. He's the only one. And so, 1 Corinthians 15:21, New King James Version, it records for us, by man, speaking of Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. Through one Son, speaking of Jesus, all things were created, including his half-brother Adam. They had the same father. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, it records for us in the New King James Version, for by him, speaking of Jesus, the context, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him, through Jesus, and for him. In verse 17, and he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things consist. You remember in John 17 and verse 5, as he was praying to the Father just shortly before his crucifixion, he said, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. So Jesus existed before the world was. And through one son, Adam, all the creation of this world became tarnished because of his disobedience. And don't ever think that, oh, my sin doesn't matter. It won't affect anyone else. Adam's sin mattered, didn't it? Affects us. One son, speaking of Adam, lived in perfect in a perfect environment. Adam lived in the Garden of Eden. So does our environment guarantee, as we raise our children, that that will keep them from sin? No. No. Sometimes when we give our children the best of everything, sometimes they turn out to be the worst. One son, speaking of Jesus, lived in a terrible environment. In fact, in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, he was as a root out of a dry ground. And you take a root out of a dry ground, it has no moisture, and a root out of a dry ground is not something splendorous to look upon. And Jesus wasn't something splendorous to look upon. He was just a man like us when you looked at him. He had no stately form. He was persecuted by others because of his stand for the truth. And I can't find any scripture in the Bible where Adam was persecuted by others. One son, speaking of Adam, focused upon the things of the world, Genesis 3 and verse 6. He sought the here and now. And one son, speaking of Jesus, he focused upon the things of God. He said in John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him, speaking of his Father, who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. One son, speaking of Jesus, sought the there and the later for us. Parents, what do we teach our children? Do we teach them that the here and now is more important than the there and later? If we do, we are teaching them wrong. Following one son's sin, speaking of Adam's transgression, sin, it wasn't one and done. It wasn't one and done. It was one and increase to the point where God destroyed the world with a flood. It was one in increase. So don't just think that, well, my sin doesn't matter, and I'll never do this again. Adam continued, and his offspring, Cain, continued with sin. But notice here in Genesis 6 and 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. In Romans 5:19, New King James Version, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And through one son's perfect obedience, speaking of Jesus, many will be made righteous. in Romans 5 and verse 19. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Transgression is defeated through Jesus. And through one son's sin, speaking of Adam, death reigned. Romans 5:21. And through one son, Jesus' perfect obedience, many will be made alive. Romans 5 and verse 19. And through one son's sin, Adam, death reigned until the coming of God's other son. Because it takes the blood of Jesus to wash our sins away. Romans 5 and verse 21. And through one son's grace, speaking of Jesus, grace abounded greater than sin. Grace always is greater than sin. Always. But we have to accept it and obey it according to God's word. And through one son's sin, speaking of Adam, the world was lost eternally. Romans 5 and verse 12, death came upon the whole world. And through one son's righteousness, speaking of Jesus, the world is saved forever. Matthew 25 and verse 34, where Jesus says, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In Acts 4 and verse 12, as Ronnie mentioned Wednesday night in our study, there is salvation in no other name under heaven besides that of Jesus. Jesus conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. It's recorded, "For in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." And through God's created Son, speaking of Adam, we're not buried with him. We're physically buried because of him, but we're not buried with Adam. But through God's only begotten Son, speaking of Jesus, we are buried with him in Romans 6 and verse 4. And then we come up to walk in that newness of life. And I've had people say, "Well, where's the blood? I don't see the blood in that baptistry." Through faith in Colossians 2 and verse 12. We're baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins through faith. Notice what it says in Romans 2 and verse 12. We're buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith. Whose faith? Your faith. God doesn't walk by faith. God walks by sight. We walk by faith. Through faith, it has to be man's faith in the what? The working of God. You'll hear denominational people say, "Baptism is only just a work of man." No, baptism is a working of God. Through our faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I mean, we go into surgery. I promise you, when I go into surgery, I have faith in that doctor. That's my faith. But who does the work? The surgeon. When we're baptized into Christ, I promise you, I have faith in Jesus, in God, in this word. But who does the work? God. And so, God's only begotten Son, Jesus, he died for us, and we're baptized into his death in our baptism, that we can walk in newness of life. And through one, the created Son, Adam, we cannot come to the Father in prayer, can we? No. But through God's only begotten Son, Jesus, we can come to the Father in prayer. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And so God's only begotten, it says here, he's our advocate to the Father. And he says, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." We mentioned this earlier. And no one can come to the Father in prayer except through him. And through the created Son, Adam, we became slaves of sin. Romans 6 and verse 17. And through God's only begotten Son, Jesus, we become slaves of righteousness. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. And through the created Son, Adam, children, his first two sons were Cain and Abel. Genesis 4 verses 1 and 2. The first son, Cain, was unrighteous. God's first son created son Adam was what? Unrighteous. But Adam and Eve's second son, Abel, was righteous. So, had the same parents. One was unrighteous, and one was right. Don't you think they taught them the same? Hebrews chapter 11, God accepted Abel's sacrifice because he offered it by faith. So if he offered it by faith, he had to be taught something, didn't he? Through the only begotten son, Jesus, he never married. Hence, he did not have any begotten children. Jesus didn't. But he's got a whole lot, God does, of adopted children. In conclusion, as earthly parents, would it be that strange if we had one child that was faithful and one child that wasn't? God did. As parents, we must do the best we can with all of our children. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, I want you to consider this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Not a personal pronoun. It is not a personal pronoun. It is referring, I believe, back to the training. Because I'll just use myself as an example. I quit the Lord for 8 years. 4 years when I was in the Navy, 4 years when I was in college. But I promise you, I knew what I was doing. And I knew when I did something wrong, there would something go off in my mind, referring back to the it, the training that I got here at Beulah and my parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. I promise you, he may quit the Lord, but he'll never depart from the training continuously. So, anyway, God did good with Adam in the garden. God gave Adam a place to live. God gave Adam a place to work. You see, work came in existence in Genesis 2, verse 15, before sin. So, God gave Adam food to eat. God gave Adam a helper suitable for him. God communicated with Adam, but yet Adam sinned. God's created son chose to sin. Jesus, God's only begotten son, chose not to sin. Was it God's fault that Adam sinned? No. It wasn't God's fault. As parents, don't beat up on ourselves. When our children are grown and gone, and we did the best we could, they make their own decisions. So if you're here this morning and you need the gospel invitation, God's the one that extends that invitation. He wants it just like Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," in Matthew 11:28, "and I will give you rest." And only through him can we gain that rest. So if you have a need of the gospel in any way, we bid you to come as we stand and sing.